legislative liaison for UAW 6000 is Ray Holman. He's on the other end of our line. Ray, how are you?
Doing great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. When it comes to state employees, they're very concerned about their retirement and the benefits that they are due to receive. And I know there are several bills that you've been following in regards to that.
Yeah, the main thing coming up, of course, is our lawsuit, and that'll be heard in front of Judge Joyce Dragonchuk in the Ingham County 30th Circuit Court on June 20th. And it's an ongoing saga. You know, we a few years ago, the state legislature tried to take away our raise, and they were not successful. And then they tried to come back and take away our raise by creating some type of trust that was allegedly for health care in retirement, and really it was just a slick way of taking money from state employees. And we sued and we won, and then another retirement bill passed, and people that are in the defined benefits program or have a traditional pension, meaning those state employees hired before 1997, were then forced to take a 4% pay cut. So we keep winning, but the fight continues, so I know everybody's waiting to see what happens on June 20th.
What happens should you lose that fight?
Well, if we lose the fight, you know, we're going to keep doing the job that we do. You know, state employees have been doing more with less now for a long time. We don't think we're going to lose the fight, though, because we think the state constitution was clearly violated. Because in this state, Civil Service Commission has sole authority over wages and benefits, not the legislature. You know, we negotiate our wages and benefits, and then they're approved by the Civil Service Commission. So we don't think we're going to lose, but either way, the employees will continue to work every day and provide vital services like protecting people from dangerous felons, investigating child abuse, keeping the roads safe, testing air, water, on and on and on.
There have been many retirement concerns about folks and about the retirement that they're going to receive in the future, and I know that concerns you.
Yeah, it really does. You know, during the last session here, we had a new retirement program that essentially took away retiree health care for new state employees. So, you know, of course, we think that there's an overall downgrade in middle-class jobs, and, you know, that's unfortunate. You know, a lot of our employees are getting a little bit older. You know, the individuals hired before 1997 who still have a defined benefits plan or a traditional pension, and we're hoping, you know, to hold on to that. But on the other hand, state employees also are concentrating and focused on doing the job at hand. And one of the things we are thankful for is that yesterday during the budget committee hearings that they did not close our three juvenile facilities. We're also thankful that we're actually going to get a prison reopened in Muskegon. So even though times are challenging, there's some positives.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about those prison issues in regards to the prison in Muskegon. Do you know when that's going to be reopened and how many employees that will involve?
Well, the department has indicated they'd like to do it no later than October 1st. And what's happening is they're actually closing the Ryan facility in Detroit and turning that into a center that's going to house people who violate their parole and give our agents, of course, we represent probation and parole agents, give our agents more tools, which is something that is desperately needed. You know, there's some concern, though. It means there could be some bumping and some people could, you know, be laid off. But what the plan is, at least in terms of what the department's announced, is they will be reopening a facility that was closed in Muskegon and transferring their inmates from the Ryan facility in Detroit to that facility and then using the Ryan facility again to give our probation agents and parole agents some more tools at their disposal.
Ray, backtracking to the salary and benefits challenge, do you think that the salary and benefits that state employees earn should be along the same lines as what we see from the private sector?
You know, I think that people should be paid on what they do, the particular skills and expertise they bring to their job. And that's been an ongoing debate. And when you look at the data and you look at the educational standards that state employees have for the various jobs that we perform, like the attorney general's office or scientists, and a lot of the state workforce has advanced degrees, And when you compare that to the private sector, actually, we make a little bit less. But, you know, times are tough for everybody, and we all need to tighten our belts. But I do not think state employees have lavish pay or Cadillac benefits. You know, I believe that is a myth, and I believe the statistics bear that out.
Ray, can you give us some insight into how the pay for a state employee is determined?
Well, again, you know, it depends on the type of position that you're performing. We have men and women, you know, that are corrections officers. We have individuals that are attorneys that work for the Attorney General's office. We have people that are master's degree of social work. And then we have people that have other duties that don't require as much education. So it really depends on the type of task that the state employee is performing and their expertise, training, experience level, just like the private sector.
Yeah, who decides that?
Well, there's civil services classifications, and it, so it depends on, you know, obviously if you're going to be a parole or probation agent, you need to have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice or psychology or related type of discipline. So it's all set. There's different standards and work classifications through the civil service.
And the civil service, do you know if they try to fall in line with a federal standard or perhaps pay standards in other states around the Midwest or around the country?
Well, you know, I represent state employees, in particular the ones that come within the UAW Local 6000, so I'm really not, you know, qualified to speak on behalf of civil service, but I knew that there's extensive research and planning that goes into to all those decisions.
All right, Ray, June 20th, we will be talking with you to get a little bit of insight into the lawsuit.
Great. Thanks a lot, Tony.